All right, we are picking up. We are right before the lines start to get wide, the middle lines. We are two, four, four. We're five lines from there by the two dots. So the Gemara had said, the Mishnah had said, B'sheni v'chamishi b'Shabbos, b'mincha karan shlosha, that on Monday, Thursday, and Shabbos mincha, so you read, three people are called up. They're supposed to be to read from the Torah. So Hani Shlosha connected me. Who are the three people that are getting the Aliyah? Who are they like? What are they? Who are they corresponding to? I'm Ravasi. Kineged Torah, Neviim Meksuvim, Kineged, it's Tanakh. So one, the first, the Kohen is Torah, Neviim Meksuvim. Arava Amar, Kineged Kohanim, Neviim Yisraelim, Kineged, the three different tribes that there are in Klal Yisrael. Elohad, the Tani, Rav Yosef, and what about, Elohad, the Tani, Rav Simi, and it's not asking a question here. Elo is just asking, there was another question he asked. Elohad, the Tani, Rav Simi, Ein Poschim, Yub Sukim, Bebeis HaKnesses. You're not supposed to read less than 10 Sukim when you're in the Beis HaKnesses. So who is that corresponding to? And by Dabra Olam and Aminyan, and when it says that even a pasuk, I don't want to say a simple, but a pasuk that's saying by Dabra Hashem al Moshe Lamor, that's not saying anything; it's just transmitting over who is speaking. So, and that counts in the psukim. So those ten psukim, Hani Asara Kenegin, who is that corresponding to? Armi Yabashua and Levi Kenegin Asara Batlan and Shavei Sakness. It's the 10 Batlan. If you remember, we spoke about it in the first parak. I think it talked about that there were 10 people who didn't work. They would sit in the Beis Medrash, and they were there for Tzarek Hatzibur. They were there for when there was a minyan that was needed. They were there so they could be learning. So the 10 psukim are connected, the 10 batlanim that every city was supposed to have, that would be there to take care of the holy things that needed to be done. Rav Yosef Amar, Kenegat Asara, Hadibro, Shenev, Lamoshi, Messinai, that the 10 psukim correspond to the Asaras Hadibros. And Rav Levi Amar, Kenegat Asara, Hilul, and Shamar, David, Besefer, Tehillim, Kenegat, the 10 halalukas that in Tehillim. And it said, Rashi said, there's not ten kapitloch Tehillim that start with Halleluka, but they start and end. It's five that start and end, so that's ten. So it's connected those five that have Halleluka starting in the beginning and at the end. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Kenegat Asar Mamaros Shemem Nivra Olam. That is Kenegat the 10 Mamaros that world was created with. So Hainian, who? What are the 10 Mamaros that the world was created with? So it says Vayomer the Voracious. When it says Vayomer in Voracious, the beginning of the parsha, it says Vayomer that Vayomer Hashem that there should be this. Vayomer Hashem there should be that. So those are the 10 Mamaros that the world was created with. So Gemara asks, Hi Tisha Havu, but if you go back and look in Parshas Bereishis, it doesn't have 10 Vayomers, it only has 9. So where's the 10th one come from? The more answer is Bereishis Nami Maimerhu, that when it says Bereishis Baruch Lekim, Es HaShemayim Ves Aretz, so Bereishis, when it says that is also considered to be one of the Mamaros that the world was created with. And how do we see that? Dichsiv, because it says in the Pasuk, B'dvar Hashem Shemayim Nasu, V'ruach Piv Kol Tzavam, that with the word of Hashem, the Shemayim was made, and he breathed into the mouth of everyone. So you see that B'dvar Hashem, just Hashem speaking, that was enough to create things. So Bereishis, Bar Elokim, in the beginning Hashem created, that's also considered one of the Amaros, the Amaros that the world was created with. Okay, so now we're going to spend the next Amud or so talking about how would you take these. We're first going to go about into who in the days of yore. Okay, it used to be that you would have the first person would make that people when they would get up to when they'd be called up for an aliyah. First of all, only the first person would make an aliyah, and the last person would make an aliyah. The middle people did not make brachos. Secondly, the people that would go up there, they would actually learn from the Torah. It's not like they would have a Bal Koreh and they'd be standing next to him. They were the ones that were reading from the Torah. So first thing I was going to talk about, what were these people that were called up? What do they do? Amar Rava, Rishon Shekara Dalin, and again, remember, there's 10 psukim. We're assuming that there's 10 psukim that have to be laying, because every time you lane, the minimum laning has to be 10 psukim. There's one exception to that rule. The exception to that rule is on, hint, we just had it, Purim. Purim is 9 psukim. Vayavo Amalek, which is, again, my bar mitzvah parsha, is, if you count from Vayavo Amalek to then the parsha, is only 9 psukim. And they say that because it's only one subject, it encompasses one subject matter, so it's okay to do 9 psukim to be able to do that. It's the only time that when you're taking out a Torah lane that you're going to have less than 10 psukim. So, Amar Rava. Rishon Shekara Dalet Meshubach. If the first person got up to lane, and it's, again, we're assuming that there's only 10 psukim that he's laning. If the first person got up and he read 4 psukim, that's praiseworthy. Sheni Shekara Dalet Meshubach. If the second person read 4 psukim, he's praiseworthy. Shlosha Shekara Dalet Meshubach. And the same thing, if the third person got up and he laned the 4 psukim, that's also. If you had 3-3-4, 4-3-3, or 4 or 3-4-3, either whichever person is doing it, they did the right thing. And now the Gemara is going to show how you see that each, whether first, second, or third, it's always that it's apropos that they should be doing four. So the first one is Rishon Shekar Adal Meshubach. I don't know if the first person reads four psukim that he's Meshubach. The Tanan Shalosh Kupa Shel Shalosh Sin Shebehen Tarmin Asalishka. That when they would give the machtzis a shekel, so the machtzis a shekel was given so that they'd be able to finance the upkeep of the Beis Hamikdash. So what they would do is they would collect a machtzis a shekel from each person, and they would put it into a basket. Aleph Beis Gimel, and they would write on each basket Aleph Beis and Gimel, so they would know which one the money was coming from, so they could know which one they're going to be taking out from first. Later, Ezim had Nitrum Arishon LaHakri Menu, so they would know which one was done first, so they could take the money out from that one first. Shemitzvah Barishon, because the mitzvah is to give from the first one. So you see that the first one is considered to be the elite. So therefore, it's praiseworthy if the first person gets up and he reads four psukim, then that's considered praiseworthy. And how do we know that if the middle person was the one that laid the four psukim, that he's going to be the one that's praiseworthy? The Tanya that we learned in the Braisa, it says in the pasuk El Mol Pnei HaMenorah Yiru, that they would take the menorah and they would light the seven lamps that they were there. They would take the seven lamps and they would that the Kohen would take the wicks of the lamp and he would turn it towards the Ner Ma'aravi, which was the middle lamp, and the Ner Ma'aravi klap Shechina, and the Ner Ma'aravi, the middle lamp, was turned towards the Shechina, towards the Aron. So you see, everything was turned towards the middle was turned towards the Aron Kodesh. So you see from there that if the middle one is doing it, then that's going to be praiseworthy, and it's appropriate for the second person to be reading the four psukim. And how do we know the last one? If the last one is going to read it, he's going to be praiseworthy. Why? Because we have a rule. You always go up in holiness, you don't go down. So the first person did three, second person did three, fourth, the third person does four. You're supposed to go up in Kiddush, you're not supposed to go down, so that's why you do it. Rav Papa Iklo the Beit Knishta the Avi Gover. Rav Papa was once in the Beis Mikta in the shul of this Avi Gover. The Kara Rishon Arba v'Shabchi Rav Papa, and the first person got up to lane and he did four psukim, and Rav Papa praised him for doing it. So again, that doesn't mean that that's the person that does it. It's just it was bringing a story that shows that the first one, but it could also bring story that showed that the second or third would be fine also.
Can you say for that you could mix up, let's say, Kohen Levi and Yisrael, like. We're seemingly giving coin as the first because it's a kibbut. Maybe you could say, well, you know, it's Malan B'Kodesh. We go from, you know, Yisrael to Levi.
They didn't do that.
To coin.
Right.
According to what the Gemara said, they didn't do.
Yeah, they didn't do it that way. In fact, the Gemara is going to talk later about the Kohen being the most chash of.
Well, they didn't do this order at all.
They didn't. No, they. The Gemara is going to show that there were exceptions that they would give it to the most chash of person there. We're going to do it tomorrow night.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a reason to come back tomorrow night. Okay. Besides the schnitzel, maybe the schnitzel that they're going to have when Rabbi Silver gives a shiur, then this they got another reason to come up.
All
but
right.
Okay. So then we said the next mission say we said ain't posim hemi emosim that you're not able to do less than that, and you're not again we're talking about Monday, Thursday, and Shabbos mincha. You can't do less than 10. You cannot do less than 3 people called up, and you don't add on to them either. So Tana, we learned haposeach mevarich lefaneha v'achos mevarich l'acharei, that the first person makes the bracha beforehand, and the last person makes a bracha at the end. But idna the kulam mevarich lefaneha l'acharei. But nowadays, again, you come to shul, we all get an aliyah, we all make a bracha before and after. Why do we do that? Hainu time to tikkun rabbanu. What's the reason? Gzeira mishum ha-mechnasin mishum ha-yotzim. Incredibly, the reason why we do it is because we are concerned about people that are coming in late to davening or people that are leaving early from davening. So we're afraid that if someone's going to come in late to davening and he's going to say, and he's not going to hear the first, like he comes in the middle of the aliyah and he's not there for the beginning of the aliyah, and then he sees that the next person gets up and he doesn't make a bracha. So, you know, so he's going to say, wait a second, so you don't make a bracha. He's going to say to himself, you don't make a bracha before you learn Torah, before you do this, before you learn Torah. And then if the person's leaving early, he's not going to have heard the person before that made a bracha at the end of his aliyah, so he's going to think, wait a second, you don't make a bracha when you finish doing the aliyah. So incredibly, the Gemara, even though like normally you'd say, why don't you just tell people, get your act together and get to shul on time, and I didn't see an explanation why we are why we worry about the why we worry about this. Maybe it's because it's teaching us that it's human nature that people are just going to come late and people are going to have to leave early for whatever reason. So because we're concerned about the people that are coming late and leaving early, so that's why we do it, that everyone makes a bracha before and after, so that people who are coming late, they'll be able to see that you're doing aliyah both sides. Okay, the next part of the Mishnah said, Rosh Chodeshim v'chol shemoed karn arba, that when you have Rosh Chodesh and chol moed, so you would have four people that would be called up. So now we're going to spend now a few lines talking about how would you handle it. First of all, the rule you have to know is that when it talks about a parsha, it means a subject matter. It doesn't mean like a parsha, like we talk about parshas Vayakel, parshas Pekudei. When you have in the Torah, where you have that it ends with a pei or with a samach, you know, within each parak you can have different segments. That's the Gemara refers to that as a parsha. And secondly, there's a rule that we have that you cannot lay less than three psukim. You can't finish or start two psukim with less than three psukim from the front or from the back. You have to finish it, or you have to start when you have three psukim. So you cannot end the subject matter. So we're going to run into a problem now. Rosh Chodesh is going to be a big problem, which you know, may already know how we handle it. But Rosh Chodesh is going to be a big problem. It's going to show because the psukim don't divide up evenly. So Parshas Rosh Chodesh, Ketzer Karnas. How do we read the Parsha of Rosh Chodesh? What's the problem? It says, Tzavis B'nei Yisrael v'marta aleihem as karbani lachmi. To have in Tami Psukim, it has eight Psukim in it. So Heichin Navin, how do we lay that? A Nikri Trey, Tlasa Psukim. Do we say that we're going to have the first two people are going to get, again, there's eight Psukim in the first when it talks about Tzavis B'nei Yisrael. So do we say that we're going to have three people get two. The first two people are going to get up, and they're going to lay three psukim each. You're going to have a problem. Why? Pashul hu trei. You're going to have two psukim left over. Ve'ema shayim beparsha pachas mesosha psukim. And we learned that you cannot have less than you don't finish a parsha with less than three psukim. And again, the reason why the Gemara is going to say is because we're afraid that a person's going to come in and think that you're laying less than three psukim. If a person's leaving early, he's going to see, oh, there's only two psukim left. And he says, it must be you can lay two psukim when you start reading from the Torah. So you can't do 3-3-2 because, again, we're going to have two psukim. That's what Gemara is going to say. Yeah, as I said, now we know because, like, you know, go to Shalom Rosh Chodesh, right. So you know that they go back and read a pasuk over. The Gemara didn't know that yet, so the Gemara is going to be talking about that right now. This is where we get it from. So if you're going to have if you're going to have 3-3, so you can't do that because you're going to have two psukim left. Amy Shayim b'parsha pachas b'shosha psukim. So Nikri arba. If you're going to have the first two are going to get up and they're going to read four apiece, right? So that means that they're finishing up the parsha of Tzavis b'nei Yisrael. That's still a problem. Why? Pashul hu shiva. So then you have seven psukim left because you're going to have Uvyom HaShabbos and Rosh Chodesh. You're going to have those two parshios left. Again, parsha meaning the segment that the subject matter that it's talking about. Uvyom HaShabbos Havya Trey. That's two psukim. Rosh Chodesh Havya Chamisha. That's five. Hey Chinabit. What are you doing? You still have two people left to call up because, again, it's four people called up on Rosh Chodesh. Hey Chinabit. What are you doing? Nikra Trey Meha V'chad Mahanach. If you're going to say that you're going to have the third person is going to read two psukim and then he's going to read one pasuk from the next from Rosh Chodesh, turning to Chaf Beis Amud Aleph. You can't do that. Ain't maschilim v'parsha pachas m'shosha psukim. You can't start a parsha from when you have less than three psukim because, like we said, we're afraid that someone's going to leave early after the first two aliyahs and he's going to think, oh, you could lay in a part, you could read from the Torah only two psukim. Likri trei meha utzlas mehach. If you're going to say that you should have that the third person is going to read the two psukim and then he's going to read three more pashulu trei, then the fourth person is only going to be left with two psukim. The numbers work. You take my word for it. The numbers work.
But we have a total of eight, right? I'm missing something. We have eight, right? That's
how they go,
right? Eight psukim.
No, eight is the first segment. Then you have another seven. You have 15 total.
I see. Okay.
Yeah. So again, you're going to have a problem now because if you're going to have the last seven left, so if you're going to split it up, then you're going to have two left over when he's laying it. So that's also, you can't, again, because we have this, just remember that you can't have two psukim left in the beginning and when you're doing it. So what are you going to do? So Amar Lo, so he said to him, okay, you're right, you got a problem. How are you going to handle Rosh Chodesh? So he said to him, Zulo Shemati, I didn't hear an answer about Rosh Chodesh, but I saw somewhere else where there was another situation, and in that situation, we're going to be able to learn out from there to be able to tell you what the situation is with Rosh Chodesh. So what's it talking about? that it says Kiyotzi Bashimate. I heard a similar case. The Tanan, we learned that when it's talking about the Ma'amados, remember the Ma'amados were that they would have 24 groups that were assigned, that some of them served in the Beis HaMikdash, and the rest of them would be reading from the Ma'isa Bereishis. They would be reading different portions of the Torah. So we learned the Tanan, B'yom HaRishon Bereishis, V'yihira Kiya. The first day, the Ma'amados, this group that was reading from the Torah, they would read from Ma'isa Bereishis and the Parsha of V'yihira Kiya. The Tani Allah, we learned, again, there's going to be a problem with the numbers of the Psukim. Bereishis B'shnayim, Yihira Kiya Be'echad. That the first pair, Bereishis has two Psukim, and Yihira Kiya has one. V'avinam Ba'abishlam, Yihira Kiya Be'echad. It's okay to say that, Bereishis B'shnayim, the Parsha Bereishis is read with two people, and Yihira Kiya is read with one. So we explain, Bishlam, Yihira Kiya Be'echad. It's okay to say that the Parsha of Yihira Kiya is read with one person. Why did Tzlasa Psukim have it? Because it's three Psukim, and we said three Psukim, that's fine. That's the minimum that you have to lay in the Psukim. That's not a problem. Elaborations, Bishnayim, how are you going to do that? Hamishim Psukim Havu, there's five Psukim over there. Bitanya, Hakari B'Torah, Yivchos Mishlosha Psukim, that the person who's reading from the Torah should not do less than three. So, and what did he, and then, again, this is talking about Ma'amados. So what did he answer there? The Itmar Allah, and we learned over there that there were two possibilities how to solve this problem with the five Psukim. What do they do? Rav Amar Dolek. Rav says that you go back and you repeat the pasuk over again, okay? Which is what we end up doing for Rosh Chodesh. Ushmuel Amar Posek. And Shmuel says that you take one of the psukim and you split it in two, okay? So you're going to have two and a half and two and a half, but that half a pasuk is going to be considered like a whole pasuk. So they argue about what it is. So the Gemara just says now, let's try to understand what's the reason why one said go repeat and one said to split it in half. So Rav Amar Dolek. Rav says that you go back and repeat the pasuk, my time, my law, and reposek. Why did he say that you should split it up? That any part pasuk, which if Moshe Rabbeinu didn't make a separate pasuk, who are we to go ahead and to split it up and make it into a new pasuk now? Can't do that. And Shmuel Amar Paskinale. Shmuel says that he do divide it. Why? But Rav Chanina said he was an expert teacher, and he said, Sar Gadol Hayili, Eitzer Rav Chanina Gadol, that I had a lot of trouble when I was trying to teach the children. I was trying to teach them Torah, and I was by Rav Chanina Gadol. V'lo Hitrili Lifsok El Tinoka Shel Beis Rabban. He only let me split up when it was for to teach children, because you can't tell kids, you got to learn the whole pasuk. It's impossible for them to learn the whole pasuk. So he understood, you have to split the pasuk. Because for them, it was easier for them to be able to learn it in order to understand it. So he says, so how could he say that you're going to split it up, that you'd be able to split it? So he said, Hasam time am I, what's the reason by the children? We say that you're able to split up the pasuk into two. Why? Because Mishum to Lefshir. It's impossible to teach them. You can't teach a kid. You can't keep jamming knowledge down a kid's head. You know, if he's not able to learn, he's not able to learn. So you do a half a pasuk, because that's the best way he's able to learn. Hachanami, lo efshir. So too, in the case of the Ma'amados, the Parsha is written the way that the Parsha is written. So therefore he says, you have five psukim. You have to do something. So he says, so we split it, because that's the way that we're going to end up doing it. Because two and a half will become a third pasuk now. So, and Shmuel says that you split it. My time alarm dog. Why doesn't he say that you repeat it? So he says, because we're afraid because of the people again that are going and coming out. Because again, if you're going to leave, you're going to have two psukim left in the parsha. So what do? We go back now. We read the third last pasuk. We repeat it again. But if someone's leaving shul early, he's not going to know that they're going to be repeating the parsha. So he's going to think that he's going to think to himself. So you could do it. Does two psukim? He doesn't know about the skipping. We'll just go a little bit more, and then we'll stop. So they ask the question, Meitzah, they ask the question, Parsha Shel Shishim Psukim, Karnas HaMishnayim, if you have a Parsha of six Psukim, you could read it by two people. The Shel Chamisha Psukim B'yachin, and if you have five Psukim, you're able to have, only one person will read it. So Kar Rishon Shlosha, if the first person read three Psukim, Asheni Kari Shnayim Parsha Zu, V'echim Parsha Acheres, the second person doesn't read two psukim, he doesn't repeat, he doesn't skip. What does he do? He reads two psukim that are left here, and then he goes into the new Parsha. It goes into the next segment that we're talking about. Some people say, which is actually the way that we paskin, that he doesn't just read one pasuk in the next parsha. He has to read three psukim so that you're into, again, this concept of three psukim that have to be read. Because you're not able to start with less than three psukim. So the Gemara says now, V'im Isa, now if you're holding like Rav and Shmuel like we had before by the Ma'amados, why don't we say, according to the Ma'amados it says, that you repeat it. So let him go back and repeat it. Why do you have to go back and say that you're going to read another three psukim afterwards? Let him just read the one pasuk over. Or lamad amar posek nifsuk. And according to the one that says that you could, that you should split it in two, let him just split it in two. Again, why do you have to go into reading a whole new parsha? So Gemara answers, shani hasam de efshar b'hachi. The reason why we say that you're able to do it is because it's efshar to do it. What does that mean? Because remember, we're talking about laning for Monday and Thursday. Monday and Thursday is a snippet of what the upcoming, it's coming attractions, right? You come to shul Monday morning, what's the coming attraction? Vayakel. That's what we're doing this Shabbos. Thursday, you come to shul. What are we doing? Vayakel, we're doing it. So we lay till Sheni. But if there was a situation where you had two psukim that were left at the end, we say, go another three psukim into the next parsha, because it's still coming attractions about Vayakel. It's all talking about one subject matter. So it's not like you're reading a new parsha in a new subject matter. It's all one parsha of that week. So that's why we said you're able to do it for that. Okay, we will stop here and continue tomorrow night.